Maybe it's the weather, maybe it's just the season and the busyness of the season, but I've been struggling with trying to get into the Christmas spirit. I've been struggling with Christmas. It seems like it's just rushing ahead, that it's 2 weeks away, and it's just hard to wrap my head around that we're already in the middle of December, and 2017 is coming, and it's just difficult. And Advent helps, and beginning to focus on Advent, but one of the things that helps me is to watch Christmas movies on TV. I don't know if you like watching Christmas movies on TV, especially the old classics. I'm not talking about, the Lifetime Hallmark Candace Cameron Bure marathon. I'm talking about real Christmas movies like, Miracle on 34th Street, White Christmas, It's a Wonderful Life, Christmas Carol, all of those kind of old movies. You begin to watch those and it begins to get you in the Christmas spirit. You know, I grew up in the early 70s and all through the 70s, and Rankin Bass and those claymation Christmas stories. That was always, when those came on, Santa Claus is coming to town, and then, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, when that little Burl Ives snowman comes shushing up, and begins to sing. It just gets you in the Christmas mood. I love the heat miser and the cold miser. I've committed this holiday season to grow my hair out a little bigger so I could be more like heat miser at Christmas because it's been warm here. And so those things get me in the Christmas mood. But in my home, there are two required Christmas movies that whenever we watch them, it gets us into the Christmas spirit. And they're more modern classics. They're not your traditional classics. They're modern classics. They are Christmas Vacation and A Christmas Story. When we watch Christmas Vacation, when we watch A Christmas Story, that just gets us, it tells us that Christmas is on the way. I love Christmas stories so much that a couple of years ago, I preached a whole series through Christmas on the Christmas story and what it means to the real Christmas story. I love it. I think the reason we like Christmas story, the reason we like Christmas Vacation is because in the back of our hearts, all of us can relate to that idea of having the perfect Christmas, that idea of Clark's dream to have the perfect family get-together only to see it go up in smoke. I think we think it's funny because many of us have seen those very similar dreams happen in our own Christmas holidays. I mean, poor Ralphie, all he wanted was a Red Ryder BB gun, and it seemed like everybody he knew was against him. I mean, his friends were against him. His parents were against him. His teacher was against him. Even Santa Claus. He goes and sees Santa Claus, and Santa Claus repeats the line, "You'll shoot your eye out." The whole story around what does Christmas mean? I love the scene at the getting ready for the Christmas meal, and the next door neighbor, the Bumpus' dogs, come and grab the turkey and pull it off of the table, and they end up eating Christmas at a Chinese restaurant because it was the only thing open. And really, back in then, you were lucky if you found that. And that encapsulates this idea of what we plan and what we dream, and this never seems to work out. I think all of us understand having a dream for a perfect Christmas moment, only to have a moment like Cousin Eddie showing up, only to have the perfect Christmas tree that your family dreams, and you get it into the house and it doesn't fit in the living room, to have all the Christmas lights placed and put up, only to not be able to get them to turn on. I love the scene at their Christmas table when finally Clark gets everything together and he's going to have his Christmas moment, and they ask Aunt Grace to say grace, and instead of saying grace, she gets up and begins to say the Pledge of Allegiance, and Cousin Eddie stands up with his hand over his heart, and instead of saying amen, he yells play ball. I thought that encapsulates so many of our Christmas holidays. You see, I think probably many of us have lived Christmases just like that. We plan, we dream, we hope for a perfect family moment. I mean, how many of us have thought, we're going to create memories here, we're going to create a warm Christmas memory, only to have it turn into a very funny memory on down the road looking back. Now, it's never funny when it happens, but looking back, it becomes a funny memory. Because you see, what I found over all the Christmases as both a parent and as a child, is our best laid plans seldom come to pass. And even those plans that we make to have a Christmas moment that makes a difference, the unexpected can always show up. And so many believers, and talking to those couples this week, they were so stressed. Stressed about their kids, stressed about their parents, stressed about getting their family together and trying to get everything to work out. And we get so stressed when all of our plans don't seem to come together exactly as we had planned. And for many, it ruins the Christmas holiday. And so God put on my heart this morning to encourage you for just a few minutes by letting you know a few things that may help you when the unexpected shows up. A few things that may help you when your plans don't turn out the way you'd wanted. When things face disruption, or even when an interruption into your plans happens, how can you make the most of it? So if you have a Bible, I want you to look at the passage we're going to look at. And it's one that probably all of you have heard. Matthew chapter 1. If you've been going to 5, go back, because we're going to look at the story of Jesus' birth. But we're going to look at it a little differently this morning. Matthew chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 18 and just read a couple of passages. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. For his mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together..." Now that's a huge but. If you've got to take notes, circle that huge B-U-T in the New Testament. "Before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. For she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save all the people from his sins.' And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet." And he quotes from Isaiah 7:14, "For the virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means "God with us." Now I know you've probably heard the story. You've probably read the story. You probably had the story read to you. But did you hear in the middle of that story the Cousin Eddie moment? Did you hear in that story when all the plans, when all of the ideas, when all of the hopes all of a sudden got interrupted? You see, the first Christmas had its share of disasters. It had its share of stress. And we have a tendency to run past it. But what I want you to understand is the chances are your perfect Christmas is going to have some interruptions. The chances are that your perfect holiday season is going to have some disruptions. If it could happen to the first Christmas, why not yours? And my hope this morning by sharing this message is that you can come to understand that instead of seeing your interrupted plans as a disaster, you can see them as an opportunity for a God moment. An opportunity for God to show up and teach you, to help you grow. Now, to help you expect the unexpected, I'm just going to give you two simple tips this morning. Two things to take with you to help you if your Christmas plans... Some of you, you're amening because your Christmas plans already have gone awry. You've already had disruptions. You've already had interruptions. These are a couple of tips to help you bring the stress level down and begin to let God get involved in your planning. And the first is probably the simple and easiest. Every one of us in this room can expect our best laid plans to get interrupted. Expect, when you plan, the best thing you can do is to expect that those plans are going to get interrupted. Mary and Joseph were planning a wedding. God told them to prepare a nursery. Now, I don't know about you, but that is the biggest interruption that I can ever imagine happening at Christmas. I mean, they are in the planning process. They are going through the marriage process. And if you've studied Jewish customs before, and I've kind of taught on some of this before, is that a Jewish marriage goes through two phases. You have what's called the kedushin, and the kedushin is the engagement. It is called the betrothal, and it can take anywhere from 3 months to a year. And this is the place in verse 18 where Joseph and Mary are. They are in the betrothal period. Now, don't think of it as being engaged the way we think of it. This is a legally binding agreement. And the moment they enter into that betrothal period, this kedushin, they are legally bound. They cannot just all of a sudden say, "I don't feel like this. I don't like you anymore. It's not you, it's me." All of those kinds. They can't say that anymore. They are bound by saying, "We are committed. We are to walk the walk. We are going to have to go through this." And to get out of a marriage, when you're in the kedushin process, you've got to file for divorce. It's a big deal. They're not just engaged. They're not just talking. They're not just going steady. They have committed themselves to being married. And this idea, this 3 month to 12 month, is the idea of getting to know one another. It's the idea of growing together. They don't live together. They haven't consummated the relationship. But in all legally binding standings, they are married. And then at the end of that process comes what's called the upa. And the upa is the actual ceremony. If you've been to a Jewish ceremony, you've been to the upa. Understand, they are building up to that point. Put yourself in Joe's mind. Joe's going to marry his sweetheart. He's going to marry this innocent little girl that he's been following around, this beautiful little girl. And I say little girl, we don't know. She might have been 14, 15, 16. We don't know. But it was culturally acceptable. But Joe's been, he's hangdog in love. We don't believe this was an arranged marriage. We believe it was an in-love marriage. And he can't wait. He is counting down the days from this time period to where he can say, this is my wife formally and bring her home. He's a carpenter. He's probably been doing all kind of home deco. I mean, he's probably redoing the house and getting everything ready. He's probably carved a special bed so that they can move in and be ready for it. He is excited. And think about Mary. For a Jewish woman, the marriage ceremony is really the penultimate time, and that's the only time she is in the spotlight. That's the time where she shines. She, everything she has done up until this point is building to this marriage ceremony. She is excited. She's going to get to be with the man she loves for the rest of her life. Everything is perfect. You guys think they're married. Think back to when you were engaged. Think back to your mindset. I mean, she, I don't know if they had, I guess she's down at the local trademark registering all the gifts that she wants. I don't know what she's doing, but she's getting ready for the wedding. She is excited. She's going through the process. And she comes up to Joseph and she says, Joe, we need to talk. And he's excited. He says, listen, I've got the house ready and I've got all these colors. You know, what color do you want the cabinets and what do you want to do this? I can't wait. And she says, Joe, no, we need to talk. I'm pregnant. Imagine. Talk about unexpected interruptions. Talk about things not going the way you had planned. Talk about a mess. See, I think short of divorce or death, few of us will ever face the distraction and interruption that Joseph and Mary faced. And if God can interrupt their wedding and their first Christmas, our plans are fair game. James says this in James 4. Now listen to those of you who say today or tomorrow we will go into this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead of making plans, instead you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and we will do this. You see, we can make plans on top of plans and ideas on top of ideas, but our plans might not be what God has planned for us. Let me just ask you, when it comes up to our plans and God's plans, whose plans do you think are going to get fulfilled? Whose plans are you think going to come together? You see, your best laid plans are subject to interruption. But here's the lesson this morning. Here's what I want you to understand. I want you to understand that that interruption, that disruption, that unexpected thing that shows up doesn't have to be a bad thing. Because you see, the key is how we respond when the interruption happens. You see, if we can all expect something to not go as planned, if we can all expect something that we've hoped for, something we've planned for, not to turn out the way we wanted, the real key is how do we respond to that? But the first lesson that I want you to remember is to expect the unexpected. The second, which follows very close behind it, is get God's take on the unexpected. Get God's take on the unexpected. Get God's take on the interruption. Get God's take on what is happening that is not going according to your plan. I mean, what did Joseph do? Think about what Joseph, he could have blown this whole thing. Think about it. We could have a manger scene with no Joseph if he'd have stuck to his first response. His first response was, "That is my fiance. She is pregnant. What's this going to look like on me? We are going to get a divorce." Now, that shows you how much he loves her. Because really, he could have publicly shamed her. He could have called her out. He really could have had her executed according to Jewish law. Remember when we studied adultery a couple of weeks ago? I mean, there are all kinds of things he could have done. But in his mind, he thought the least thing he could do because he loved her was divorce her. Because that would give her time to move away and have the baby and no one around would know. And it would just be a simple separation. That was Joe's first idea. That was what he responded to the interruption. I wonder how many of us respond to our interruptions with the first thing that comes into our head. What's your first response when things don't go as planned? What's your first reaction when you get interrupted, when your plans don't work out the way you had hoped? Is it anger? Disappointment? Fear? Joseph could end the story right there. That seems the right thing to do. I mean, he was perfectly within his right. I mean, he could have protected her and yet still walked away. But then Joseph did something incredible. Before he let his first reaction be his last reaction, he decided to get God's take on the disruption. You see, Joseph decided he was going to hear what God had to say. In verse 20 to 23, God shows up and explains to him why what is happening is happening. God shows up and gives Joseph a bigger picture. And here's the key. Here's what separates us having Joseph in this manger scene and Joseph not in this manger scene. Is when God showed up and gave a bigger picture and explained why what was happening, why Joseph's marriage plans were going out the window, Joseph listened. Now I want you to hear me. I want to suggest something to you. Sometimes in your life, when you've made all these plans, not just Christmas, life plans, you've got all this stuff that you are hoping is going to work out, and this is going to happen, this is going to happen. Those interruptions, those distractions that come, many times, most of the time, God has a purpose for it. Because your plans didn't line up with His plans, or the timing wasn't right. And if you will listen to God, He will show you why you got distracted, why you got interrupted, why the Cousin Eddie moment happened. But most of us are too busy in our pity party, or we're too busy angry because it didn't turn out the way we'd hoped, to ever hear His voice. God spoke to Joseph and Joseph listened. And God said, "Joseph, there's a bigger picture going on here. There's something beyond your little plans." And he got to see why the interruption was so important. I remember hearing Beth Moore, the Christian speaker, Christian author, give a testimony one of her speeches, her talks, her sermons. She was talking about how she flies all the time. She's always in the airport. She's always traveling. She speaks all over the country, really all over the world. And she began, as she started to fly more and more and more, to get really upset when flights got delayed, when things didn't go off. If you have to travel, I know some of you guys travel a whole lot. When you have to travel a whole lot, one of the biggest frustrations can be when things don't work out according to plan. When the flight's supposed to leave at 2 and the flight doesn't leave till 5. Or when you get there and you're supposed to have one seat and you have a different seat. And she used to talk about how it would ruin her whole trips because she would get there and the things didn't work out the way it wanted. And finally, after throwing a little temper tantrum because the flight got delayed, God got a hold of her and began to share with her that the reason those interruptions were happening is because He was trying to get her attention. He was trying to open her eyes to opportunities that were around her all along. And so she said, "I began to pray and try to be sensitive. When things didn't go out, you know, if everything went smoothly, I just went about my way. But if a flight was delayed or if there was something that happened, or I wanted to see what God's take on the deal was." So she said she began to be more sensitive. And one day she was going into an airport and the flight was delayed. Her first reaction was anger. Her first reaction was, I'm not going to make my connecting flight. And I'm going to have to call and rearrange a car service and tell the people I'm coming to speak. And she was going through her whole mind when in the corner of her eye, she saw an older man sitting over in a wheelchair. And when she saw the older man sitting in a wheelchair, the Holy Spirit said, this is why your plane was delayed. She said she fought it for a few minutes, but God told her to go and sit and just begin to visit with this older man. And so Beth Moore said she went and she sat down next to this older man in a wheelchair and she began to talk to him. Just be friendly. She found out that the older man was traveling to go home to see his wife of over 50 years. They'd been separated because they'd been traveling on a trip and he had had a heart attack and he had to stay in this town because of his health for rehab and to recover. And she had to go home because of health reasons and her doctor. And they'd been separated for over 6 months. He hadn't seen his wife. And as she began to talk to him, the man talked about how nervous he was because he hadn't seen his bride in 6 months. He said, I've changed. I've lost weight. My looks have changed. He looked disheveled. And Beth Moore said in that moment, the Holy Spirit spoke to her. So she reached in her purse and she pulled out a brush. She got up and she began to comb the older man's hair and make it look nice. And she got his clothes and she began to fix the buttons and pull up on the collar. So the Holy Spirit told her, she went to the gift shop and she bought some flowers and she brought them back and she handed them to the man and said, please give these to your wife when you see her. As she was doing all this, the old man began to tear up. He said, I don't understand why you, a stranger, I don't even know, why are you doing all this for me? And her simple response was, because I have a God who loves you enough to send me to you to make sure you look your best when you see your bride. Can you imagine if we started looking at every distraction, every disruption, every time something doesn't go as planned, if we started looking at them as opportunities instead of interruptions, if we opened our eyes to begin to see that when God causes an interruption in our life, when God calls our plans not to go as we wanted, it's because He's trying to teach us something, or maybe it's because He's trying to use us. When you don't get the seat you want on an airplane, maybe it's because God wanted you to sit by a specific purpose. This holiday season, when you get in a line that's the slowest line, amen, that's the curse I have in my life. Be 25 lines open at Walmart, and I go to the one that is the shortest, and there's always 25 price checks, right? And you go, when you get in that line, instead of kicking yourself and looking at all the other lines that you should have been in that are moving much faster, why not ask yourself, why, God? Maybe it's because the person in front of you needed something. Maybe it's because the person behind you. There was going to be enough time to be in that slow line to actually minister to somebody, to share with somebody. What about when somebody unexpected shows up at the holidays? Something unexpected happens. Do you see it as an interruption or an opportunity? You see, I wonder, church, listen, I wonder how many blessings we walk by every day. Blessings that we miss out on. Blessings that God could have used us to change somebody's life because we're so set in our plan, or because we're angry because our plan didn't work out, or because we're so insensitive to hear the voice of God. Get God's take on the interruption. How'd it work out for Joseph? He could have been a divorced man, married somebody else, but because God spoke to him and he listened, he got to raise the Son of God. Plus, he got to marry a sweetheart. He got to name the Son of God. How cool is that? He was headed to divorce. Think of the interruptions. Think of the distractions. From being married and excited to marry, all of a sudden everything falls apart and she's pregnant, to all of a sudden God shows up and takes what was a distraction, what was an interruption, and makes it a life change. And simply because he listened and he responded to it as an opportunity, he became the earthly father of God. Now I know, easier said than done. I know some of you are saying, Pastor, listen, I'm with you. Yes, that's a great idea. But when everyone's screaming and the kids are hanging out of the cart and I pull into that slow line at Walmart, it just seems like it's real easy to not take that mindset. It's really easy when you're in a rush and you're going to see family and friends for Christmas and you got everything planned and everything's done and you're moving towards it and your plane is delayed to think about having to sit in the airport an extra hour and all the things that it's easy not to be able to get in that mindset. So I'm just going to close, give you three real words to let these three words be your key for the next 3 weeks. Because if my promise is true, your plans are going to get interrupted this Christmas season. I promise you. Not everything's going to work out perfect. Things are going to disrupt your plans. And if you really want to step back and get God's take on it, three words will help you do that. The first thing is pray. Before you do anything, pray. Before you say anything, pray. It's what James was talking about in James 1 that we quote all the time. And I love what the Message Bible says. Post this at all your intersections, dear friends. Lead with your ears, follow with your tongue, and let anger straggle along in the rear. Pray. Pray for wisdom. Pray for patience. Pray for courage. Instead of reacting, instead of lashing out, say, God, you're going to need a timeout. You can do that in your head and your heart while you're standing in the line at Walmart. You can do that when you're at home and nothing is working out. When all the baked goods that you've made have burned, or when the kids eat that special stuff that you made to take to work the next day and you think it's a disaster, before you say anything, stop and pray. And the second thing is perspective. Pray perspective. See, most of us have catastrophic thinking. We just do. I wonder how many of you have said over the hot, that's it. It's the end of the world. We're not doing this, right? Get all the Christmas lights on. I mean, don't look at me like you're spiritual. I know you, okay? You get all the Christmas lights on and they work for a second and they go off and you take them off and they're in a ball or you pull out the ornaments and they're broken and you say, that's it. We're not putting anything up, right? You cook something and it burns. We just won't eat. Ask yourself, how big of a disaster is this really? I mean, we pour $100 worth of worry into a $5 problem. We do. Everything, it's the end of the world. I had planned on 6 people and 7 showed up and now we're not going to be able to sit where we wanted and we let it all overwhelm us. Really, how big a deal is it? Listen, Christmas is not going to be ruined if you don't get the upstairs bathtub scrubbed before your family shows up. But that's the way we react. Pray. Get some perspective. Put it in the right perspective. How big a deal really is this? And what's God's take on it? And then the third thing, and the third P word I want you to remember is providence, which means God is still in control. If you believe that God knows every hair on your head, that God ordains every step that you take, then you have to believe that that interruption, that distraction, God knew about it. God wasn't shocked when somebody else showed up at Christmas. God wasn't surprised when the clothing that you wanted to wear didn't turn out to look the way you wanted it to. And it's not the end of the world because He's still in control. And He still has a plan. You see, if we'll pray about it and if we'll put things in perspective and then get God's perspective, and then if we will trust that God is in control, it will change your whole attitude when things don't go the way you wanted. You see, our lives are not always going to go as planned. Chances are some of your Christmas plans are going to have unexpected interruptions. Instead of them catching you off guard, expect the unexpected. Because you see, when God interrupts our plans, maybe He's trying to accomplish His. When God interrupts what you had thought was supposed to happen. Maybe it's because God is trying to let you experience something better. I told you a couple years ago, I had a life-changing experience watching the Animal Planet one time, and that doesn't happen much, but I saw the birth of a baby giraffe, and I don't know if you've ever seen that or ever seen that on an Animal Planet, but it's unbelievable how a giraffe, and we don't think about those kinds of things. How does a giraffe get born? A giraffe is born with its mom standing up, and if you've ever been near, I mean, that's the bottom of the belly. And this Animal Channel was talking about it, and they were showing it, and I was flipping through, and it caught my eye, and I thought, I got to see this. And so here's this mama giraffe giving birth to this baby giraffe, and the first thing that comes out is this little head and its hooves. So it's in a little U-shape, and then a little while longer goes and goes, and finally this little baby giraffe, the cutest thing in the whole world, it just falls like 6 feet to the ground. And it sprawls out, and it's laying there, and the mom kind of goes over to it and sticks her nose way down into this little cute little ball of hair and giraffe and neck and long legs, and it's all laying there, and the mom walks over and smells it for a few seconds. And it's like this beautiful picture. And all of a sudden, the mom takes her front leg and rears back and kicks the baby across the thing. And I'm like, what? What? I remember when my son was born and the nurses came to wash him, and they grabbed him by the neck and they were just sticking him under the hose. And I was like, wait, wait, right? And this mama giraffe just kicks this giraffe. This giraffe's kind of stumbling over there, and its legs are up in the air, and it rolls over and it starts to get up again. The mom kind of watches. The giraffe kind of does its thing. The mom just kind of saunters over, looks down at it, rears back, and kicks it again all the way back across. I'm serious. Watch it. Go look it up on YouTube. Can't make this stuff up. And finally, after this happening a couple of times, the baby just kind of waddles and gets up on those little bitty skinny legs and stands up. And it looks up at its mom, and the mom smiles, and you know, it has this, comes over and begins to lick the baby's head, and it's such a cute scene. And then one more time, the mom kicks its legs out from under it. And I thought, this is horrible. This is giraffe abuse. Why are we watching this? And the guy came on and said, do you know why the mama does that? So the baby will remember how it got up. Because in the wild, the most vulnerable time that the baby has is right after it's born. Because if a baby giraffe doesn't remember very quickly how to get up and get with a herd, it is in danger of being taken by a wolf or a wild animal. And so a mama giraffe instinctively does something that you and I would think is so cruel and so mean, but it's for the benefit of the baby giraffe. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, a verse most of us know, for we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. When things in your life are not working out the way you'd planned, God might be working out the things in your life. This holiday season, expect the unexpected. But know that you have a God that has a plan and wants you to be a part of it. Let's pray.